Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday, July 25th, 2014. I am Jeff Dunphy coming to you from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and this is Retooling for Your Coming of Age. We're going to chat about events in the world today. We're going to chat about global, economic, fiscal, manipulated facts today. Change is happening, or as an esotericist would say, there is nothing constant but change. A few things happening right now in the banking system, which has been very tight-lipped of late and has created almost a farce in terms of what the banks are doing. And now it seems a pressure has seemed to be lifted. So some of these system controllers, these elites, these bankers are taking a look around, and none of them are very much pleased with what they're seeing. Some of them realize they can now speak more freely, and I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if they now have their preparations in place so they can start to facilitate the shifts and changes that we've spoken of in the past, or if they are in a place where, because the wheels have fallen off the vehicle, they figure they have nothing to lose. So the first, here's a set of quotes from a guy who is a large insurer, the chief investment officer of Alliance, and by some measure of its girth, I think it's one of the largest, Europeans' largest insurer. So here's what he's been quoted as saying recently. The fundamental problems are not solved, and everybody knows it. Now let me do that again. The fundamental problems are not solved, and everybody knows it. So really, for the last 5 years, one had to peruse these blogs to hear that truth. But this is from a guy named Maximilian Zimmer, the guy in charge of the assets for one of the 20th largest corporations in the world. And he also stated that the euro crisis isn't over. So with that latter quote, he just told us that all those euro polls running around saying the euro crisis is over and Europe has been fixed are very mistaken and or very full of crap. Now next, someone let the Wall Street Journal know that the U.S. Federal Reserve has been railing about extreme problems at Germany's top bank, Deutsche Bank. And here's that quote. In a letter to Deutsche Bank executives last December, a senior official from the New York Fed wrote that financial reports produced by some of the bank's U.S. arms are of low quality, inaccurate, and unreliable. It said examiners found material errors and poor data integrity. The shortcomings amount to a systemic breakdown and expose the firm to significant operational risk. So while this comes out 6 months or 7 months after the fact, what is happening now is we're starting to see the rats leaving the ship. Okay, so what's the U.S. Central Bank doing beating up Germany's largest commercial bank? Well, let's think it through. So Deutsche Bank has huge U.S. operations. And we've known that the Fed's money printing has been going into the European banks. So Deutsche Bank probably has a lot of the money that has been printed. And so, from the Fed's point of view, they had to bail out the Deutsche Bank before, and they don't want to have to do it again. And, oh, get a load of this. Deutsche Bank has the largest exposure to derivatives of any bank in the world. Now, you will remember that derivatives are just highly leveraged bets on every imaginable financial price movement. So here's a quote from one of our favorite sources called Zero Hedge. Okay? Recall that we have shown for 2 years in a row, Deutsche Bank has a total derivative exposure that amounts to 55 trillion pounds, or just about $75 trillion. That's a trillion with a T and is about 100 times greater than the €522 billion in the deposits that the bank has. It's also five times greater than the GDP of Europe And more or less, this is the same as the GDP of the world. Okay, we have the James Rickards of the world, we have the Jeff Dunphys of the world, we have the Zero Hedges of the world talking about how much derivatives you have exposure to in terms of price swing movements. The German GDP is 2.74 trillion euros. The whole of Europe's GDP is 9.6 trillion euros. And the Deutsche Bank total derivative exposure is 55 trillion euros, $75 trillion. So that's Germany's total economy, which constitutes a fair whack of the Europe's total economy. So what becomes clear is that Deutsche Bank is a serious problem. It's going to be way too big for Germany to handle and way too big for Europe to handle. And in all fairness, it becomes systemically vital. And this is when they play that hand of this bank is too big to fail. So now it becomes a systemic risk. And what the U.S. Fed was saying is that Deutsche Bank's record-keeping and reporting is so bad that it results in significant operational risk. We likely won't know till after Deutsche Bank crashes whether this was error or intentional obfuscation. Perhaps it's probably a lot of both because their business is so huge and they've got a bunch of young traders running around trying to make money, doing anything they can, and then hiding if and when they get caught. So that's one of the largest banks on the planet being told by the U.S. Fed or being revealed by the U.S. Fed that they feel as if it's being, its reporting is compromised. Now, the next little tidbit I want to address and broach is the Bank for International Settlements. It's called BIS, and it's in a little place called Basel, Switzerland. Now, this is the bankers, this is the central bank for the central banks. So this is what they're starting. Here's a report of the bank, on the bank, by, and this is how it's described by Bloomberg. Get a load of this. This bank, the Bank of International Settlements, was especially useful to the Nazis. Though headed by an American during World War II, the BIS adhered to a priestly neutrality in order to continue dealing with all sides in the conflict. Unfortunately, this put the institutional squarely in the position of abetting Nazi terror. The BIS accepted plundered gold and made it possible for Germany to acquire desperately needed war material. It even permitted Germany, once it had invaded Czechoslovakia, to confiscate that nation's gold reserves. Remember that BIS that we've spoken of before? Anyway, with such disgusting beginnings, the BIS has continued its tradition and therefore has risen to be the central bank above all other central banks. That is, if you are the head of a major central bank in the world, you get a seat at the table of the BIS. So the BIS slams market euphoria and finds puzzling disconnect between economy and market. Okay? So this is the Financial Times, the paper in London, talking about the latest bank of the BIS annual report. So the Bank for International Settlements has warned that euphoric financial markets have been detached from the reality of a lingering post-crisis malaise, as it called for governments to ditch policies that risk stoking unsustainable asset booms. They're actually starting to pay attention to this stuff and say something about it. Now, while the global economy is struggling to escape the shadow of the crisis of 07-09, capital markets are extraordinarily buoyant, the Basel-based bank said, in part because of the ultra-low-rate monetary policy being pursued around the world, calling for policymakers to halt the steady rise in debt burdens around the world and embark on reforms to boost productivity. In its annual report, the BIS also warned of the risks brewing in emerging markets, setting out early warning indicators of possible banking crises in a number of jurisdictions, including most notably China. Now, I want to revisit some of the information that we chat about that James Rickards points out. And one of his quotes of import of late has been, the mistakes have already been made. What they've done is they have made their bed. They've gone down the road of setting this thing up, and now it's just a function of when it happens. And he likens it to filling a fireplace with all kinds of wood and all kinds of kindling, and then just knowing soon enough that it will only take a spark to start it. Now, speaking of bank failures, the EU, the US, and the UK, and here's an acronym for those, perhaps an appropriate pronounceable acronym for this particular axis of evil is You Suck. EU, US, and UK have decided to show us their feelings about bank bailouts and have come clean about their attempts to get all the countries to go along with their scheme to replace bank bailouts with bail-ins, through which, if you have money in a bank that fails, they're going to steal a bunch of your money to save the bank, like they did in the test case of Cyprus. So there are countries that are saying, yeah, no, we don't think that's a good idea, and there are countries that are signing up to do it, okay? The Bank of England, certainly Australia, Canada, isn't it? And I'm sure the Americans are, okay? So these guys are pushing for major countries to go along with this plan for obvious reasons. Let's say you're a global corporation or a gazillionaire and you can place your money in whatever country you choose. Why would you keep your money in countries where you could lose a lot of it in a bail-in? You wouldn't be so stupid. And certainly the advisors that you would have on staff in order to facilitate your best interests fiscally would never allow that. However, the USAC axis is being brutally honest here about their intent. Perhaps people living within areas where the USAC goes will be replaced by the reluctance, will be helped out by the reluctance of the Asians and the Russians to go along with this draconian plan. This is serious food for thought. It should not be missed on you that your assets are in peril if you keep them in any of the banks that reside in a country that has bail-in provisions. The bailout provisions was the printing of money. The bail-in provision is the stealing of money out of the banks. So then the taxpayers aren't hurt, just people with money in the bank. So then it's, again, it is, they will couch it in the same phrase as Robin Hood would couch it, and speak to the taking from the rich to take care of the poor, where in fact it isn't taking from the rich to take care of the poor, it's taking from the rich to steal into the banks and the governments because they have blown their brains out by ridiculously ineffective monetary policies. Okay, so now I want to talk about some other things that are happening around the world relative to various financial institutions and how these financial institutions have been carrying on. Remember when we talked about the interest rate manipulation, and then we talked about trading information, the LIBOR trading nonsense. We talked about where now there is word out that a lawsuit has been presented. And there's a guy named Michael Lewis who I think his latest book is called Flash Boys. And he talks about how stock markets are rigged. And the Americans, he was even on 60 Minutes, and the Americans are learning some very uncomfortable truths about the way the playing field is tilted or is rigged against the general public stock investor. So throughout this time of this, all these accolades or all these accusations, the Terrence or Terry Duffy, who's the executive chairman and president of the CME Group, which is the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, which operates the largest futures exchanges in the world in Chicago, that the charges made by Lewis, Michael Lewis, about the stock market have nothing to do with his market, and the futures markets are pristine, according to testimony Duffy gave the U.S. Senate Committee on May 13th. On Tuesday of this week, Duffy's credibility and the honesty of the futures exchanges he runs came into serious question when lawyers for three traders filed a Second Amendment complaint in federal court against Duffy, the CME, the Chicago Board of Trade, and other individuals involved in leadership roles at the CME Group. So the conduct alleged in the lawsuit, backed by very specific examples, reads more like an organized crime rap sheet than the conduct of what is thought by the public to be a highly regulated future exchange. So the lawyers for the traders begin correctly by informing the court of the vital public function that is supposed to be played by these exchanges in providing price discovery and risk transfer. They then methodically show how that public purpose has been disfigured beyond recognition through secret deals and clandestine side agreements made with the knowledge of Duffy and his management team. And here's the kicker. The most stunning allegation in the lawsuit is that an estimated 50% of all trading on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange is derived from illegal wash trades. Now, what a wash trade is a false price because it occurs with the buyer and seller as one and the same party or two financially related parties. Now, who is to say that the huge paper gold shares at the open in the U.S. are not wash trades? There is no risk in a wash trade. You can artificially force the price in any direction you wish with wash sales. Wash sales are illegal under present rules and regulations. This is what we've said on more than one occasion when the price of gold drops quite dramatically when somebody puts a sell order in for $1 billion worth of gold just at the very beginning of the market. And now this lawsuit alleges that 50% of the trading on the Chicago Mercantile Exchanges is derived from illegal wash trades. Again, as one of my partners used to say back in the day, the thick plottins. We become less and less surprised at these allegations. We become stunned at the implication of the violation of public trust. And God help us that we should become complicit in it by suggesting that it's no big deal. Let us not lose sight of the fact that this stuff is reprehensible. It is an expression of the demise and the collapse of the financial system. And if, when I was involved in the system, and if I was now involved in the system to take care of the system, I would be telling whoever was running the system to run for the hills and protect their assets. Here's another little chat and piece of news about the Chinese currency. The Chinese, as you know, and certainly as I have said over the past several months, have been doing everything they can to facilitate a move away from the U.S. dollar as the reserve, the world's reserve currency. And the U.S. dollar is losing itself in terms of its relative value to other currencies. We see this as a given, and I'm sure the Americans are not particularly taken with the fact, but I don't think it's lost on the Americans that they're losing. So the Swiss National Bank and the People's Bank of China have agreed to set up a currency swap line designed to boost trade and investment between the two countries. So now the Swiss are getting into bed with the Chinese, which is they're going to be joining a parade of countries hoping to become offshore hubs for the yuan. So the Swiss and Chinese central banks said that the three-year agreement will allow them to buy and sell their currencies up to a limit of 150 billion yuan, and that's about 21 billion Swiss francs, which is about 23 billion U.S. dollars. So such a swap line allows the central banks to buy currencies from one another. Okay, so now we have the Swiss and the franc, the Swiss franc becoming relevant, and we've also got the Chinese playing with euros, but they're hedging themselves against the euro. And we have the euro as probably the relative strongest currency on the planet right now. James Rickard is certainly of this opinion. He thinks that the euro is the strongest currency, and he thinks the U.S. dollar will collapse. whereas the euro won't, because it has a little more, yet the European economy is more diversified and in healthier state than the States. Now, that's not to say that it's healthy. It's merely to say that it is less sick than the U.S. dollar. Okay, some more news along the lines of economic data. Now, there's a website on the internet called shadowstats.com, and it's run by a guy who says, here is what really is happening as opposed to what they're trying to tell you. And this is part of retooling, and that is being able to see what is rather than believe what mainstream media is trying to tell you. And here are the headlines. The sales of U.S. new homes fell in June after large revisions. So what they want to tell us is U.S. home sales are going up and everything's okay, everything's strong. But it's not. I mean, it does come to light eventually that U.S. housing sales are falling. They are not rising. The economy is not strong. And the other aspect of retooling data is the jobless claims in the U.S. unexpectedly dropped to an 8-year low. So they're all suggesting that joblessness in the U.S. is getting better, which strikes most of us in the know, and certainly who pay attention to various aspects of the financial markets, that this is nonsense. Or bullshit, as they would say. Now let's also wander to some other headlines and just chat a little about what's going on. We have some, remember, as we have chatted over the years about the law of correspondence, which we call as above, so below. And as we wander through as above, so below, we start to talk about how when a country or an economy or a bank or a people or a city or a community or a household or a family is going through crises, it cannot go through crises without it affecting one and the other, all of above and all of below. So if you and the missus are having an argument, the dog suffers, believe it or not, however bizarre that may sound, but it's true. I want to chat a little about a list of 10 things that are hitting the Americas right now. But one of the things that we should not lose sight of is Mother Nature is a great barometer of various things. Now, this comes to us by a guy named Michael Snyder of the American Dream blog, and it's talking about the 10 plagues that are hitting America right now. So the first on the list is perhaps the least dangerous, but it's also one of the most interesting. Just recently, a plague of flies was so thick in the upper Mississippi River Valley that it showed up on radar. Now, I don't know what this means, but somehow it is an anomaly, okay? The radar detected the flies about 8:45, emanating from the river, the source, with echo values similar to that of light, moderate rain, with a general south to north wind flow above the surface. The mayflies quickly moved north once in the air. As the flies dispersed, moving north and east, they also gained altitude, with some of the echoes being detected as far north as the Black River Falls and as high as 2,500 feet above the ground. So I see there is a picture here, and it just looks like somebody has spread pepper all over a gas station, so thick that you cannot see the pump but for the flies, okay? So there's another kind of virus, and here's, so that was number one, and then number two is a virus called chikungunya virus. Now, it's down in Florida, and this virus comes from Puerto Rico, and it's now being passed to people that have not even traveled out of the country. Third little thing, the wildfires out west, and we've been victimized by and we've been subjected to it in Canada here. For the longest time, for the better part of 3 or 4 weeks, the sun was coming up orange and the moon was coming up orange because of the smoke in the air. So wildfires spanning almost 170,000 acres are driving hundreds of people from their home in Washington state and across the border in Canada. And it's not inconsequential. There's a drought in California. This is number four. 81% of California is now experiencing some kind of extreme drought or worse. And they're also talking about water shortages, which talks about how the California Valley, the Central Valley, which is the most productive growing part in the world, is going to be rationed in water. So consequently, the value and the price of food from that valley is going to be going through the roof, okay? Here's a horrific virus, a pig virus, known as porcine epidemic diarrhea, came over from China a little over a year ago. Since then, it has killed about 7 million pigs, and approximately 100,000 more are dying each week. Oh my, next virus, citrus greening. Have you ever heard of citrus greening disease? Maybe not, but it's gotten so bad down in Florida that experts are now saying that the entire citrus industry in the state could be destroyed. Bananas going extinct. Well, there you go. TR4 virus, fungus, is spreading so rapidly that it could eventually totally wipe out a variety of bananas that we find in our grocery stores today. Again, you know, oh, the number of earthquakes is increasing. There's another virus, which we chatted about a little while ago, and how the number of earthquakes on the planet is increasing quite remarkably. Number nine of the viruses are called superbugs. Drug-resistant superbug infections have reached near epidemic levels across U.S. hospitals, with an alarming, get a load of this, 500% increase now documented in a study just published. The study also found that an astonishing 94% of CRE infections were caused by healthcare activities or hospital procedures. As somebody once coined, the hospital system, certainly in Canada and the U.S., is not a health care system. It is a disease care system. And the 10th on this list is Fukushima. It talks about hundreds of tons of radioactive water are still being released into the Pacific on a continual basis. But it's a slow-motion disaster that's already old news, so most Americans don't even think about it. However, as one Japanese doctor that's working in Tokyo has said, since December of 11, I have conducted thyroid ultrasound examinations, thyroid function tests, general blood tests, and biochemical tests on about 2,000 people, mostly families in the Tokyo metropolitan area, expressing concerns on the effect of radiation. I have observed that white blood cells, especially neutrophils, are decreasing among children under the age of 10. There are cases of significant decline in the number of neutrophils in 0 to 1 year olds born after the earthquake. And in both cases, conditions tend to improve by moving to Western Japan. So the effects of that nuclear calamity have not left. Now, what is this? This is, as I say, it is a bit dark and it is a bit gloomy, and it reminds us of a place where we need to stand to see that the demise of a certain era, the ending of an era, is painful. And it is painful in a fashion that speaks to letting go of the old to welcome in the new. Now, part of letting go of the old and welcoming in the new is recognizing that the old doesn't serve anymore. Now, the old serves the 1%. It serves the powers that be, if you will. And it serves them in a manner which completely disempowers and eradicates all everybody else's wealth and everybody else's best interests. And it lends itself to some serious reconciliation that needs to come thereafter. Part of the good old phrase, as go we, so go I, comes back to roost. According to the law of cycles, you can't get too greedy for too long because it'll come back and bite you in the ass. And it is coming back to bite people in the ass. pardon that phrase, I dare say that part of the very premise of the demise of this current civilization is based on greed. And the very context of that greed is quite divisive when it comes to what we are seeing in the world. Now, let's turn it around. Let's play in the realm of duality. And if something so bad and nasty as all this stuff I've just chatted about, the context of the banks saying things aren't good, the context of the global economic news happening, the shooting down of aircraft yet again, none of this stuff is particularly good. What does it result in terms of those who choose to retool? It begs for the rediscovery of the inner genius within. It begs for the rediscovery of the inner genius within. Let us not lose sight of that, ladies and gentlemen. This is the part of you that serves you brilliantly. It is also the part of you that most of mankind ignores. So if you can think so deeply that you can rediscover the spiritual roots of thought as living spiritual beings, and if you can develop a strong enough sense of your own individuality that you can become aware of the thought beings that weave in and out of yourself, yet not be overwhelmed by this reality. And if you can recreate the ancient sense of wonder and use this sense of wonder to help awaken the willpower that lies sleeping in your deep, dark recesses. And if the fire of love for your fellow human beings rises from your heart and causes you to weep tears of compassion for all of humanity, who don't have the capacity to see what's going on, then you are truly aligned with the coming of the new age. You are truly retooling. And this is your coming of age. It is your coming of age, and it is your brilliant and perhaps loving obligation to pay attention to this stuff. Lots of crap happening on one side. Lots of potential rejuvenation presenting itself. In order for you to be who you will become, you have to give up who you are. I think the world's ready to give up on who it was, and it's ready to embrace a new shift, a new era, a new time, in order to facilitate the age of Aquarius. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank you for listening. I would like to thank you for allowing me to be of service. And I would like to thank you for your attention. This is Jeff Duffy. It is Friday, July 25th. It is 2014. And this is Retooling for Your Coming of Age. Thank you, and we will see you next week.